Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Was it handed over right? Should I go back to my estimator and, you know, kick his butt? This has gone wrong, or that's gone wrong, or this wasn't what we talked about, or this is outside of the notes that we had.
And no one took full responsibility.
It's like the Spider-Man meme, everyone's pointing at each other.
That's exactly right.
If we've had that proper handover and it's signed off, and you've signed it to say that you totally understand everything and that everything's been given to you, and the estimator has signed it saying that he's given everything to you and that the, you know, you guys have had this handover meeting, it's your problem now because it's been officially handed over to you and you've both accepted that responsibility has been handed over.
Creates a lot of issues and stress in your team and for you and the clients. It's a bit of a mess.
A system is only as good as the accountability on the system. So bringing all the right people together in one place and having that handover meeting is absolutely crucial to the success of the project. This is systems and accountability. Can't hold someone accountable to something that they, you know, can't be held accountable to. I mean, I can't hold you accountable to the stuff in my head. You know, like that's ridiculous.
Exactly right.
So
exactly
the checklist
right.
is make or break. If you don't have good accountability on the system just doesn't get used or doesn't get used properly. And at that point, you might as well not have it.
There's a silent killer of job efficiency and profitability that costs most tradies and contractors thousands and thousands of dollars every single year. Now, on top of that, the silent killer creates massive frustration for you and does massive damage to your team morale and culture. Now, tune into this episode where we dig into the importance of a strong job handover process and what you need to do to ensure your jobs run smoothly and profitably.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. We will help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button and let's get started. To the podcast.
Well, welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with Phil Smith, my co-host. What's happening,
mate?
Man?
Yeah, good. Always good.
I like the set.
Everything's
today.
Happening.
I like the set. It's nice and intimate.
Bit of a change. What do you reckon?
It's good.
Yeah.
Stare into your
Thank
eyes.
Thank you, Joe. We've got Joe here in the studio. He sets this up. Good man.
Doing
love
a good
you,
job.
Bro.
He's a good man, that man.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we doing today?
Mate, we're talking about when you price all your work, get all the details and specs from the client. So, you know, you win the work, you're feeling good, the job starts, and with it comes the problems. So, you know, materials might not be ready, client might be unhappy about when you start, you know, there's confusion around the scope of the work, the client thinks other stuff should be included, but it's not in the price, end up with extra trips to the job, costs are blowing out, project manager's angry with the estimator, and things are getting ugly, and we're talking about what you do at that point or how to avoid it.
Yeah, and it's a very real thing when you've, particularly if you have any team, and you know, if it's just you, there's only one person you can blame, that's yourself, and it's probably an easy fix as well, bit of an uppercut in the mirror, you'll be fine. But when you've got a team and you've got people who price work and people who do work, and maybe you've got a bigger team, you've got an operations manager and several project managers, things can get ugly if you don't have a good process for making sure that all the details about the jobs get through to the people actually out in the field doing the work. And we've all experienced it's very stressful, very frustrating, but it doesn't have to be like that if you get this right. And I think today's podcast is all about how to do that, how to create a really good, solid, you know, job handover process to ensure the jobs go well. And this is critical to profitability because mistakes cause rework, and it's just, you know, it's double pain. You've got to fix things, and you lose time with other jobs you can't do. So it's best to be avoided. Plus, obviously, it creates a lot of issues and stress in your team and for you and the clients. It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah,
when it goes 100%.
Wrong. 100%. I suppose the theme is we want to be that guardrail at the top of the cliff, not the ambulance at the bottom. And I'm sure you have a great story to kick
I do
us
have
off.
A great story. We've talked about my fascination with air crash investigation. So I've rolled another one out.
All you need to do is add the dude's dead just now, and we're on.
Well, the good thing about this is, unlike most of those episodes, they're not dead just now.
Oh,
they're actually alive. This has a happy ending. The story was, there was a plane, it happened a few years ago in Canada, Air Transat Flight 236. And it was a commercial Airbus flying, I think, from Toronto to Lisbon. And halfway across the Atlantic, the plane started losing fuel, which is not good when you're halfway there.
No.
In the middle of the ocean.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
Less than ideal.
Anyway, it turns out that the aircraft had some maintenance done on it before the flight, and a wrong part had been put into the engine during the maintenance. It was in a fuel line, so it was the wrong size. So not enough fuel could get through, and so the aircraft didn't have enough fuel to fly. And here's the thing. The mechanic didn't double-check the spec. They got it wrong. The maintenance supervisor just assumed that the mechanic had it right. And the pilot noticed the unusual fuel readings, but he assumed it was just a faulty gauge. So there was a whole lot of lack of responsibility from a whole bunch of people, which caused a big problem. And You know, that can happen on your jobs as well. So everyone else thought it was handled. That's the thing, and no one took full responsibility.
It's like the Spider-Man meme, everyone's pointing at each other.
That's exactly right. So the plane ran out of fuel. It was empty over the Atlantic. Now, luckily, they were near an island in the Azores where there was a runway. And so that fully loaded Airbus glided for 75 miles with, you know, no engine thrust and actually landed, and they were all okay. Total miracle, but, you know, it probably wasn't good for people's blood pressure, I'm going to say. It would have been pretty quiet on that plane, right?
Flying, yeah.
Pretty quiet on that plane.
Well, either that or it would have been pandemonium, you know, like
that's
one
right.
or the other.
That's right.
We can only guess. Good thing is, I mean, I fly with you a lot, and one thing that I feel very confident about is with all the air crash investigation episodes you've watched, that if there's ever an issue, I'm sure you'll be right up in the cockpit giving advice, and hey, we'll probably be fine.
No problem.
No drama. Either that or you'll be like Captain Hindsight, like you should have had this done, you should have done that, you should have thought of this. Yeah, where was the checklist? Anyway, my work is done here. And
yeah, yeah.
Go, thanks, Captain Hindsight. Yeah, yeah, what would we do without you?
Be like, I told you we were going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
And we did, but you know, I was right, so that was good.
Anyway, I feel a little bit more comfortable with you. You next time.
I'm happy to be of service. But the thing is, you know, there was a big breakdown in the system here, and people were relying on each other to do their job, and it didn't happen. And that's what happens often with job handover processes, that we think someone else got it covered, or we just don't get it right and it falls to bits. So. Yeah, let's not have to glide for 75 miles.
Yeah, that's right. Bit of risk in that. And I'm sure in this case, if we don't have a great job handover process, we can run into some problems.
Yeah, well, I guess the first thing is you get lots of mistakes. So things fall through the cracks. The jobs don't go right when you're actually doing them out in the field because all the information wasn't there, or you didn't understand everything, or you didn't know where the clients were at. There can be rework, you know, which costs you money. There's resentment from the clients, frustration from your team. The clients maybe get frustrated, don't want to use you. And, you know, you actually end up playing referee as well between different factions in your team. Maybe the ops and manager or project managers or four people, they're blaming the estimator. Maybe the estimator's blaming them. And so you get a breakdown in the culture for a problem that really should have been solved before you kicked off.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But on the other hand, if we do have a good job handover process, you know, some pretty big upsides.
Well, saves you a lot of pain. You know, the job sites are ready, prepped to go. Ops can do their job without having to chase up information. Estimators can trust that what they've sold is going to get delivered. The clients are happier. The team's happier. You know, you start working as a team and you don't have to spend all your time running around chasing issues and trying to, you know, get people to kiss and make up.
Yeah, you can take off the black and white stripes and stop
right.
being the referee.
That's right, or smash their heads together when you're frustrated, which
Frisbee your laptop across the car park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've noticed you've done that occasionally.
Yeah, yeah. It's always fun.
Yeah, yeah.
We probably should owe the computer line on our P&L a little bit, but never mind.
Yeah, mate. Well, you know, what do you do?
What do you do? Anyway, let's get into the meat and veg of this. So yep. Where do we start?
Well, I think the solution to this problem is really simple. It's probably a pretty short pod, to be honest. It's systems and accountability. And for most people, they don't have a really robust system and process around how to make this work. And so therefore, it's stuck in people's heads. And when it's stuck in people's heads, then it's open to interpretation or, you know, memory lapses, all that sort of stuff. And really, that's the problem. So it's a lack of process, lack of system, lack of accountability, and a lack of getting it out of people's heads onto paper or into, you know, onto a computer, into the software you have. So I think that's the kind of the big picture. But there's obviously some details to that.
Yeah, for sure. I think firstly, you really want to be front loading all of the information into the job. And I think like when you're putting all of your notes from, you know, from the job into your pricing, whether you win it or not, you know, this is beforehand, before you even know if you've won the job, you want to be putting as much information as you possibly can into that job, so you know, particularly into your field software. And I know this can be frustrating because if you don't know you're going to win the job in advance, you know, it's a lot of time to spend, and it could feel like you're overdoing it and spending time on something that isn't necessarily going to fruit. But the reality is, if you can get as much info into that job up front, you know, you're going to thank yourself later, because later on, when you come back to put info back in, you might not remember everything. You'll miss details, and then that'll, you know, that'll stuff people up down the line. Not to mention, like, the benefit of being thorough up front is going to mean that you're going to be really, really thorough. All the details will be there, and now it's going to be seamless. And everybody else is going to be able to use the info that you've put in, the notes that you've put in, whether it's about, you know, customer preferences or about, you know, exactly what materials will be used, when things will start, how it's all going to fit together. Like, all of these notes are going to really, you know, give a weapon to be used by the next person down the chain. Whereas if you're light on this at the start because you're worried that you may not win the job and you're thinking I'll come back later, well, you're really hamstringing the next person down the line because they're going to be at a loss. They don't really know what to do. They won't have all of the information. It's just going to make things hard for them, right?
Yeah, and if you think about this really applies when you've got someone doing pricing and then other people do the work. But even if you're doing the pricing, you think about you might price it today and you don't do the job for 6 weeks or 3 months or whatever it is, you are going to forget stuff.
Absolutely.
Even if it's just you. So, you know, if it's just you and you forget stuff, how much more important it is if someone else does the pricing and you've got to hand that over, stuff will get forgotten. It's so important, and you just can't expect people to remember that. And yeah, like you said, it is frustrating. There's a lot of time and effort, but I can guarantee you, on balance, that if you do this, even if you don't win some of these jobs, the time saved when you do the job and the quality of the service that you can deliver will far outweigh what you do. And I think part of the process here is to have really good pricing templates so that you've got all the boxes, if you like, to put this information in. And it's all the information, like you said, like customer preferences, details about the actual job site, the type of project, the type of building perhaps, any specific subcontractors that you might be working in with, where the materials are going to be ordered from. It could be anything that's captured up front that needs to be in there so you don't mess it up later.
It's also the specificity of it, which is always the clearest when you're, within a short time frame of having seen what you need to do. Like, I'm just thinking about even at my house, I've got a job that needs to be done. It's it's some glass work which needs to be done up on a second story. Now the thing is actually when the guy came to fix this, he'd actually looked at it once. Someone had come out and looked at the job, and they'd obviously put in the job notes, look, it's on a second story. And the guy came out with a ladder, and he got there and he goes, oh, I've got a ladder, but I actually need scaffolding. Now, in this case, I'm sure that in those job notes at the start, the person who came and looked at the job said, hey, it's on a second story, it's up high, but they didn't specify that a ladder's not going to cut it. And therefore, the next guy turns up to actually do the job and unfortunately doesn't have the right stuff. And now he's got to bugger off back and get some scaffolding and come back, and it's a completely different job than what he had in his head. So it's that specificity of the details as well, which is really going to set the next person down the chain up for success. So the more info you can put in closer to the time, the better. Again, we often remember the macro details. It's up high, it's on a second story, but not the micro details. You're going to need scaffolding, a ladder's not going to cut it. I was telling my wife again, I got cut off in traffic yesterday, and one of the questions she asked me, what colour was the car? I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember the guy was, not my favourite person in the world at the time. But it's very hard to recall those details. You just tend to remember the big things and not the little things, but it's those little things that really can make or break a job. So the more info, the better.
Yeah, you probably frisbeed your computer at him as well.
Oh, I did. Anyway, yeah, of course.
And I guess, when you're out in the field, it is the small details that make the big differences, actually, because a small detail that's missed can mean the job, as you said, just doesn't fly at all.
Yeah.
So that's important. So once you've got your front load the information, that's crucial. Then you need a really solid handover process and a checklist. That's what it is. It's a checklist with all the details that need to happen in the handover. And it's got to be written down. It's got to be on people's heads, put on paper, or put in a field software which maybe has forms. Because if it's in people's heads, it gets forgotten. It's a nightmare. And so that could include a bunch of stuff. The job scope summary, the quoted hours, the budgeted hours, the materials, specific inclusions or exclusions, margins, hours estimated. I think we talked about that. Key client notes, site access, that's a big issue.
Massive.
Safety considerations, what subbies are booked, what subbies are preferred, special materials, consent information, all that stuff needs to be in that process.
But again, needs to be a checklist, needs to be written down, because it's easy to have all of the stuff in your head, like, quoted materials, I know what I'm going to need, I know what margins I'm looking for, I know, key client notes, the preferences of the client, I know to think of all this stuff, but because there's so many things, it's so easy to just forget one and then have that really come and bite you. So I think, again, your point there about it being written down out of someone's head is absolutely crucial. It's really what makes or breaks this.
Yeah, and it's down to materials, the specific types of vanities and tapware and all that stuff. It's got to be written specifically what it is, so there's no confusion. It's just very simple for the next person to pick it up, place the order. If they're doing it manually, or if you're doing it electronically, that's fine. It should go through. So that's critical, having a checklist, a job handover checklist.
Yeah.
And that's almost like the thing that manages it, because there are multiple people here. And so the way to spread that carry the responsibility across is to actually have the checklist and the process, because that's kind of what's managing the job. And then people manage the checklist.
And to clarify the responsibility so that you can use it for accountability, because without the checklist, what do you hold them accountable to later? Like you said, this is systems and accountability. Can't hold someone accountable to something that they, you know, can't be held accountable to. I mean, I can't hold you accountable to the stuff in my head. You know, like that's ridiculous.
That's exactly right.
So the
checklist
is make or break. Yeah. And where we store that's quite important.
Yeah,
right?
I think, you know, ideally that's stored electronically. I mean, we're in the 21st century. And so it's most probably in your field software. You know, ideally it's got a way you can put forms in there that can be marked off, and so that checklist can be everywhere. Obviously, if you have it in paper form, it's a bit low tech, and that can work, but it has some issues. Or at least you're storing it online somewhere else in a Drive or a Google format or Dropbox or something. There's heaps of different systems you can use there, but it's, you know, you want it electronically so it can be used in multiple places, and then you can look at it as the owner and see where things are at as well.
Yeah, on that note, even with it, you know, electronically, if you have made it in like a, you know, in a Dropbox folder or something like that, if it's not in your field software, like, it's really good to do this in a format that can be edited and viewed by both people in real time from a distance. So, like, for example, what I'm getting at here is the difference between, say, an Excel spreadsheet that lives in a folder versus a Google sheet that can be live updated by both people, because it means that if you're editing something, you're editing it for both of you, remembering that there's usually more than one person in this process. That's why there is a handover. And so it needs to be able to be live updated. And so
cloud.
Yeah, it's got to be in the cloud. It can't be something where, you know, it's saved to your desktop. You know, so electronic, but also able to be shared easily, accessed from a remote location and live updated. This is really what you're looking for. Field software is preferable, but if you're going to do it in other ways, just make sure it still fits that criteria. Let's talk about the difference between you know, smaller maintenance work, for example, versus like larger jobs, projects, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, for smaller jobs, I mean, the process applies for everything, right? You need a handover process, because particularly if someone's taking the call, your CSRs or your admin receptionist taking the call, they're probably not going to go and do the job. Hmm. And so there's still a handover process. Obviously, the handover process probably needs to be more involved for a larger job because there's more to it, more information. But for the smaller jobs, you know, you get all the information up front, as you said, you front load the information. And when when the job gets accepted or it's put through to be scheduled, then all that information should go directly to the ops person or whoever's scheduling the work, so they know exactly what it is. It's all there for them, and they can, you know, make the calls then. And particularly for smaller maintenance and servicing work, the client information is really important. Yeah. You know, the details about the client, like they may be someone who's, you know, is just not happy about having people in their house if they're not there. And so that needs to be taken into account. Or maybe they don't care. That needs to be taken into account. Hmm. Or maybe they have a dog. Or maybe they have specific parking instructions. I mean, clients, let's be honest, sometimes they can be a little bit weird.
Well, you know, so weird or not, this is important. Yeah. Like, if you've got a driveway where there's, you know, like, I'm just thinking again about my house. I've got a big, long driveway up to my house. And if you park right in the middle of it, I can't get out. And so if I've planned to let you in and then I'm going to leave, and I don't care if you're there alone, then my preference might be I don't care if you're there alone, but you also need to know that I intend to leave and leave you there, which means you need to not be in the way of my car so that I can get out. So, you know, little things like this do matter. And even though they can often be resolved on site, all of the resolving time and talking about it time is wasting time on the job and eating into your margins. So the more of it you can know up front and front load and, you know, pass on in an effective way, even on those smaller jobs, and those smaller jobs, wasting 10 or 15 minutes is a significant portion of your margin potentially. Hmm. You know, so, you know, the more you can prepare for up front, the better. It's just going to help with everything.
Yeah. So the thing is, all the information front loaded, and it can go through in your software so that the person has who's scheduling or ops has got all the things they need. And then for larger jobs, I mean, it's a similar process, but it's more involved. What I do recommend though is that you do have a, you know, handover meeting. I think that's massively important.
Yeah, this is crucial. Yep. And obviously, if you're going to have a handover meeting, you want to have everybody who's actually going to be involved in this process in that handover meeting so that you can discuss as a group. One thing I find interesting is if you're going to have, you know, say three or four people involved in this process and in getting the job set up and underway, you know, if you have three or four separate meetings where one person hands over separately to three people, you could have three very different conversations where different details are covered and things are missed. And I told this person and then I can't remember, I didn't tell that person. And, you know, we used a different sheet and it just gets messy. Do it as a group. It means that everybody can, you know, collaborate, make sure everyone's on the same page, ask questions. You know, if you ask a question, I might actually have needed that information as well, but I didn't know I needed it. So being able to hear your questions is very helpful for me. It actually clarifies for me as well, stuff I didn't know that I didn't know. So bringing all the right people together in one place and having that handover meeting is absolutely crucial to the success of the project, especially for bigger stuff. You want to have all of the information that you need. So, you know, obviously all the info you front loaded is great, but you may want to bring plans. You may want to bring, you know, any supporting documents that you're going to need. So then you can go through it. You discuss the pricing, discuss the margins. You discuss, hey, have we front loaded the margin into the start of the job, or is it front loaded? Is it back loaded to the back? Where are we expecting to be able to, you know, get variations, things like that, just so that you can discuss all of the elements of the project. And then when you're handing it off, you know, the real important thing here is that, you know, you're all very clear, you're all on the same page, but it's going to take getting everybody in a room together to get the best outcome there. You definitely don't just want to be sending this off in an email. It should be a meeting for bigger work.
And if you think about it, it's basically the estimator is taking everything they know about the job and they're effectively just handing it over to production, to ops, to do the work. And so it's a information sharing job. And the key thing here is that you know, estimator's been responsible for actually pricing the work. Ops or project manager or foreman or whoever is going to be responsible for doing the work. And so it's actually critically important that the baton, if you like, is passed from one to the other. And at the end of that handover meeting, then ops or four-person project manager should actually sign that job off as handed over.
Yeah.
And that is the point where the responsibility is transferred. And so that puts a lot of responsibility on ops to make sure they've got what they need, because then they can't go and blame the estimator for getting it wrong, because they've had the opportunity to get what they need. Now, it's not always going to be perfect and things might pop up, of course, but it puts the incentive for the person doing the job to really take the time to understand the job and to drill the estimator on anything that's appropriate that they might need. And as part of that process too, just a small point, I think it's important, it might be in your checklist, is that if it's a new project and a new project manager, it's part of the process is good for the ops person to actually go and meet the new project manager as well, just to clarify expectations there before
Absolutely.
You start. That's a great way to impress the new client. Maybe you do it for existing project managers as well, but if you've worked with them a lot, you know, you probably know how it's going to roll. And it depends on the situation there, but I think that's important. But the key is there's actual physical signing over of the responsibility from one to the next, so we know who, you know, whose court this now sits in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very hard to hold someone accountable if you end up back with that Spider-Man meme we're talking about where everyone's just pointing at each other. You know, if I come to you and say, hey, Tony, ops manager, this has gone wrong, or that's gone wrong, or this wasn't what we talked about, or this is outside of the notes that we had, and you say, oh, well, that wasn't handed over to me. It's very hard because I need to hold you accountable, but now I'm like, well, was it handed over right? Should I go back to my estimator and, you know, kick his butt? But the thing is if we've had that proper handover and it's signed off and you've signed it to say that you totally understand everything and that everything's been given to you, and the estimator has signed it saying that he's given everything to you and that you know, you guys have had this handover meeting, well then at this point it actually doesn't matter what happened. It's your problem now because it's been officially handed over to you and you've both accepted that responsibility has been handed over. And so at that point it makes it very easy and clear for me to manage you and to, you know, actually hold you accountable to an outcome.
Yeah.
And again, a system is only as good as the accountability on the system. If you don't have good accountability on the system just doesn't get used or doesn't get used properly. And at that point, you might as well not have it. So
it's exactly right.
Systems and accountability really are hand-in-hand process. It's absolutely crucial.
And you mentioned, and don't get me wrong, in some of these situations, the estimator may have got something wrong and may not have known it, and they're estimating, you know, their hours estimated, et cetera, may not be quite right. Or they may have missed something in the process. And that is going to happen from time to time. That's why you need a feedback mechanism. So at the end of the job, when these things maybe haven't gotten it right, you actually have a debrief on the job with everyone and you feedback what went right and what didn't to the estimator so that then they can actually, you know, fix that up for next time.
Yeah.
And so that's an important part of the process, and that's really about often tweaking the system too. That might need some changes as you go along.
Yeah.
But the point is someone has to be responsible for the job. And different parts of the job, people will be responsible. The checklist has got the overall kind of view of it, And we, as the owners or the managers of the business, can hold people to account to getting that checklist done. But signing it off at the appropriate times is really critical, so we know who's actually responsible, rather than, as you said, the kind of pointing at nobody, which is what happened in the aircraft.
Yeah.
You know, everyone thought everyone else had it covered, but nobody had it covered. It fell through the gaps, and so we want to stop that.
Yeah, and I think the thing is to remember as well is that when you hand over that responsibility, this is not you absolving yourself of the job either. It's not like going, all right, cool, your problem now, mate. It's just about handing over the control. So who's kind of in charge of delivering the outcome at that stage? So estimator is in charge of the pricing process and getting everything right up front, you know, so that we can win the job and get started. They hand over the control of this job to ops after that. And now they're, you know, taking point, but we are still a team. You know, this is not estimator washing their hands of it. This is, we're still a team. It's just your baby now. Ops is going to make sure that the job gets done to a high standard. We come in under hours, and you know that we're doing a great job and providing a great service and product for the client. At that point, job is executed properly. Actually, at that point, control of the job's often handed over to admin, because now we got to, you know, invoice and collect payment.
Yeah, another handover.
It's another handover. But the point to make here is that you're all still a team. You're all still playing for the same outcome, and you're all still in each other's corner. It's not about washing hands of it or, you know, your problem now. It's about just making sure that everybody is clear at all times who's in charge of delivering the outcome at that stage. And that way you're able to have accountability and all work together towards that same shared goal, which is really crucial. So it's not a hand off and wash hands tool. It's a hand off and it's your turn now, mate.
Yeah,
it's that
who's responsible.
That's the point of it. So yeah, real crucial, and obviously feedback after that. So I think we've got a great process here. Should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So systems, checklists, accountability, and communication are the key to a solid job handover process. Now take the time up front to get this right, and it will make your jobs run smoothly and profitably. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
What if you could hire an employee who never took a day off, never argued, and did what you asked without question the first time you asked? Now it turns out ChatGPT is that very employee, if you know how to train it and use it properly. So tune into this episode where we break down 4 simple steps to get the most out of using ChatGPT.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of The Profitable Tradie Podcast.